This is Jeff Alpin, Big Game Hunter. Welcome to Job Search Radio.
Are you looking for a new job or interested in leveling up? Job Search Radio is your go-to resource for insider tips on job hunting and growing your career. Here's your host, Jeff Altman.
Hi, I'm Jeff Altman, the Big Game Hunter. I'm the head coach for JobSearchCoachingHQ.com and the host of Job Search Radio. This is a show where I like to spend a few minutes Monday through Friday offering advice about job search because I believe that most job hunters go through a harder process than it really needs to be. So JobSearchCoachingHQ.com has more detailed information, but this show is designed to help you in a few minutes each day, Monday through Friday, learn more about job hunting. And on this show, I take a few minutes to really speak with you about how recruiters handle salary negotiations. I hope you find this helpful, and if you do, I hope you give the show 5 stars and a great review in iTunes. So, let's get going. Let me speak today about how recruiters handle salary negotiation. Now, if you think that recruiters go through mortal combat to advocate for you and to demand that an employer pay you what you are asking for, you are kidding yourself. Let me kind of walk through the process the recruiters go through. An employer, and this is true of either retained or contingency search firms, an employer contacts a search firm. They contact an agency. I'm giving both perspectives. And they identify a role to be filled and a compensation that might be paid. Now, they offer a range and outline what their bonuses are like, their benefits are like, and a whole host of other things. Now, if the search firm has a relationship with this particular client, do you really think they're going to start yelling and screaming at this firm in order to get you the money that you're asking for? Or are they more concerned about preserving the relationship with the firm that writes the check? Well, yes, you can argue the case that without you, they're not going to get that check. But at the end of the day, there's always another you. And yes, there can be another employer, but there's work to open up that relationship or create that relationship again. So they tend to advocate for the people who write the check. So now let me kind of walk through the process where your resume is being submitted to them. They have a sense of the range, and I'm going to pick simple numbers. 60,000, 100, 250, three different salary ranges. So for a $60,000 person, let's say the range on the job is 55 to 70,000. For the $100,000 person, it's 95 to 110, and for the 250 person, it's 240 to 275. So they know that these are the ranges for these positions. So they may indicate what your current salary is in the sense of what you're looking for, or they may just indicate your current salary. If they choose not to identify what you're currently earning and just talk about what it is you're looking for, often, like always, a firm will turn around and say, so what's he making now? You know, what's she earning? And they do that because they refuse to give someone a prohibitively high raise. Now, sales may be different. Sometimes this can get pulled off. But for other types of positions, very, very rare that the huge percentage increase comes up. Why? Because they are all operating under budget guidelines where HR is being reviewed and all their behaviors are being analyzed. And when there's a percentage increase above a particular mean that's mandated by corporate HR, they turn around and go, what the hell is this all about? And it adversely affects them. So they operate within these guidelines that basically say, if a person makes 60, you offer them 66. That's a 10% raise. You know, that's good enough. If this person makes 100, you offer them 105 or 110. That's a 10% raise or 5% raise. That's good enough. If a person's making 250, you might offer them 260, 265. You know, we don't give 10% raises to people at that level. We give X% raises. See where I'm coming from? So So that's the behavior that starts off. And thus, when the offer comes in, and it might be low. Well, let me go back a step. You're interviewing along the way. Now, if you're out of work, you may be asked in the course of your interview, so what's going on for you in your search? Are you close to anything? And if you say, no, I don't have anything going on right now, you've just hurt yourself because you have no leverage. They can basically issue an offer to you and say, take it or leave it. Your choice. We don't care. There are other people who can do what you do. We'll go find them. And you're out of luck. If you are working, or if you're asked this question, you say, well, I've got some other options. Some other firms have expressed interest. I'm on final rounds with three other firms. Suddenly they understand it's competitive. They may push things up. And they ask which firms. I prefer to keep their name out of it. So that this way, you know, everyone's bargaining with the same degree of knowledge. You know, if I say to you, well, I'm interviewing at this firm and that firm and this firm, and I do the same thing with them, I think that's unfair. I want to see what your best offer is based upon your assessment of me, not based upon the competition. But what you're doing is creating competition because they don't know what the target number is. If you tell them what the number is at these other firms, frankly, that's around the area that they're going to come in anyway. No one goes much higher. But if there's a low offer that comes in, a search firm is going to advocate for you. They'll spend some time talking with the client. The client will counteract that remark, generally with a comment that says, well, by comparison to an individuals that we have already working here with this level of skills, you're right. You know, we assess this person to be at X number of dollars. Most of the time, what it really comes down to is you didn't do a good enough job in your interviewing to demonstrate your value at the level that you're asking for. So they're making a lukewarm offer to see if you'll take it based upon the opportunity presented. The recruiter is not going to go, you know, into this, you know, death match with the hiring firm in order to get your position. They'd rather go into that death match with you to manipulate you and persuade you to accept the offer at the level that's been offered. Why is that? Because you're easier to change. You know, the job hunter is easier to change than the employer is, and they know the relationship with the employer can continue afterwards, particularly if they got you to say yes to the low offer. So that's the scenario that normally comes up. So that's today's show. I hope you found it helpful. And if you did, I want to encourage you, come over to jobsearchcoachinghq.com and let me help you there. I have great information that's going to be able to help you with your job search. Plus, I answer questions from job hunters, provide discounts on coaching, one-on-one coaching, on a lot of different things. And all my books and guides to job hunting and resume writing are available to you at the site. Again, that's jobsearchcoachinghq.com. Hope you enjoyed today's show and have a great day. Take care.
If you would like to have Jeff give you advice about your job search, you'll love jobsearchcoachinghq.com. This site has all of Jeff's books and guides to job hunting available free. The ability to have Jeff answer your questions, plus podcasts and videos that'll help you with all the different parts of a job search, including writing a winning resume and cover letter, great answers to interview questions, how to negotiate effectively, whether you want an easy way or want to get tough, plus a community of people like you who you can get advice from. The site again is jobsearchcoachinghq.com. That's jobsearchcoachinghq.com.